it, right? Baruchim Abayim to the third and continuing series of Shiurim on the Hakdama of the Ramban to Bereishis and to the entire Chumash. Last time, we discussed the Ramban's understanding of the Chumash in terms of what I called textual immanence. And the notion of textual immanence, actually, even though it's related to many things that Ramban says, but in particular, I was referring to what the Ramban says along in his Hagdama, towards the end of his Hagdama, which appears in the Chevelle edition on the Vavumud Beis. And there the Ramban says, Od yesh biyadenu kabbalah shel emes. We have a tradition of emes, ki kol ha-tera kula shleisav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the entire Torah is really names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'atevois mischalkois l'shemois b'inyan achre. Because actually we take the words of the Chumash and we understand it in terms of letters, then in fact the letters form different combinations than the ostensible combination of combinations of what we see as words and sentences. Kilo tachshav derech moshel, and I'll give an example. Ki posuk bereishis yischalak l'tevas acheras. For example, we can take the letters of bereishis and divide them differently. For example, posuk bereishis being bereishis ba'alokim. And the Ramban gives an example is that berosh is ba'alokim, mainly that we divide it up into three words. The first word being spelled beis reish aleph shin, and the second word being spelled yud tov beis reish aleph. In any case, the Ramban wants to say that the Torah, in addition to being a text of words and sentences, etc., is also a text of letters, and the breakup, the logical sequence of the letters, does not necessarily correspond to the words which we use to read the text. Now, what I wanted, I mentioned that this is sort of a concept of what I called textual immanence. I use the term textual immanence because when we spoke about the implications of the Ramban, we spoke about the fact that the textual concept of the Chumash being combinations of names, of words, combinations of letters, which constitute names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, this in fact actually expresses itself in other parts of the Ramban's commentary, where he speaks about the Chumash, the different types of nevuahs, different type of prophecies as actually being related to different names of different names of God, or even he speaks about nisim, miracles, which we see with Moshe Rabbeinu, as opposed to what we see, which is more of a Del Hateva, types of Nisim, which are more the Del Hateva, which you see in the case of the Ovis HaKadoshim, and there too the Ramban associates these things with names of Hashem. In other words, Kel Shakai in terms of the Ovis, and Yud Kei Vav Kei for Moshe Rabbeinu. So in other words, we see that the implication of the Ramban statement extend to an understanding of both prophecy and ontology, as in fact being constituted or being defined by different names of God. So certainly if a person would describe the world in terms of names of God, you have a type of what you would call a name of God immanence in the world, namely that behind the world, what constitutes the basic fundamental particles, ontological particles of the world, are in fact names of Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is in a certain sense akin to what the Baal HaTanya brings in the Shachar Yichud, in the name of the Besht, but in fact, all of reality is none other than permutations of letters, of Maisa Bereishis, because everything in the world has a name, can be denoted by a name in Lashon HaKodesh. But in any case, the question is, what does the Ramban really, the phrase I coined, which I called textual image, textual immanence, I wanted to imply that the notion of immanence actually applies to the language of the Chumash itself. And this is what I'd like to discuss today. What is this textual image of the Ramban? Or what is the Ramban referring to? Like any Mechaber, the best thing to see what he's referring to is actually to show a way in which actually he uses this as a methodology in his commentary in the Chumash. So I'm going to give an example of what I feel the Ramban would probably point to as being a phenomenon which is related to the a notion of what we will call, and we will see more clearly here, the notion of textual immanence. Now, in Bereishis, in Perek Beis in Bereishis, we have the Chumash tells us about the creation of Chava. And this begins in Perek Beis, and also Chafalot. There, the Torah says, I bring from the Chumash, Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardema Ma'odim Vayisham. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu puts Adam Ovishim to sleep. I'm not looking for a precise translation, I'm just sort of like summarizing it. A precise translation, you can look for art scroll, the Chadoyme. Vayikach Achas Mitzal Oisav. So, he took one of the Adam Ovishim's ribs, well, I guess where he's sleeping, Vayisgo Bosa Tachteva. And he closes up the place of the rib with flesh. And then Pasuk Chavei says, "Vayiven Hashem Elokim es Hatzela shelochem el Adam leisha." So Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the tzela, which is the rib, which he took from Adam HaRishon, and he forms from it into an isha. Vayivieha el HaAdam, and he brings it to Adam HaRishon. That's Pasuk Chavei. And then Pasuk Chav Gimel, "Vayemer HaAdam zeis hapam." So Adam HaRishon says, "Zeis hapam etzam yatzomai ubasam ipsari." I don't even want to go into what this means in terms of a translation, but the Marishan exclaims, or he sings, that he identifies the woman now as coming from his bones and from his flesh. L'zois yikala isha. L'zois, to this, I'm going to call isha, ki me'ish l'kocha zois, because she was taken from ish. Now, the Ramban al-Chumash has a interesting understanding of the word Zeus. What is Zeus referring to? What is this? The other nation is referring to this. In a text, we usually don't refer to this, unless the text itself tells us what this is. So we see that the other nation is referring to something which is at least not ostensibly present in the text. So what is this Zeus the other nation is referring to? So the Ramban actually associates, and this is Ramban in several places we'll see in a while, associates the word Zois with what he calls a sight. In Pasuk Chaf here, as you would say in Yiddish, Afanot, right on the spot, the Ramban says, Uvamila Zois sight. There's a sight in the word Zois. Yudem Devreinu Pashas Vazet Habocha. And or Yivoda, we will, you know, this will be made known what we say in Parshas Zois HaBracha. Imracheni Tzuli Lagir Sham. We see at least in a certain sense the Ramban wrote the Chumash at least partly in order. But the Ramban refers to V'lachein Hichzi, and therefore there's a rejoinder, Ki Mi'ish Lukach HaZois. Now, of course, the Ramban is being very cryptic, as we all know, with the Ramban mentioned Zois.
We know that because we look in the Ramban art scroll. That's for Ramban, we see he left that bit out.
He left it out. Okay, very good. That's supposed to be Megala Soid.
Right.
Okay, well, then we'll try to have Megala Soid here.
No, I don't know, but we can sell this as a supplementary compendium to the Outscore Ramban.
In any case, no, but I did not have to do that. Okay. Anyway.
It's your brother-in-law.
In Zeis HaBracha, in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Aleph, so in the Pasuk Ish Elokim, so once again, then the Ramban says, L'zeh HaSoid is come. So it says, Zois HaBrocha, what's Zois HaBrocha? So the Ramban speaks about the Archa Emes, and he mentions a few psukim, Me'es Hashem Hois HaZois, V'yankim it says, V'zois HaShem Dibal HaMaviyem, and then the Ramban says, V'amaskul Yovim, V'lazah HaSoyim Nizkabnu Rabbi Yisilim Bedrosham, She'obu Gracious Rabba, V'zois HaShem Dibal HaMaviyem, Osid, Odom, Kayetze B'lavoch Eschem, somehow Zeus has to do with the fact that the Zeus has to somehow do with what the Ramban says to be the side of, let's say, the interface between man and God, namely where Kodesh Baruch Hu Pasuk Aviyim, as he speaks about Yaakov Avinu, but Kiviyachol is a Kodesh Baruch Hu too, that place where the father ends and Moshe Rabbeinu begins. There's a certain interface which has to be the side seems to relate to a Kabbalistic concept of the interface, or some type of interface between divine declension of worlds, which emanate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to man's apprehension of them. Okay, now, to move a little bit further, and more specifically about this pasuk, what I said, you know, we'll leave for the art scroll, but the Vizois appears in several places in the Ramban, and one of the places it appears, and actually is in Shemois. In Shemois, in Perachafei Pasuk Gimel, in Vizois HaTruma, so the Ramban there speaks about Truma too. Zayis HaTruma says the Ramban HaDerech HaEmetz U'Kamo V'Hashem Nosem Chochman Yishloimoi, and it speaks about Truma, and then the Ramban says, right, ובאלה שמייס רבא וזה סתרומה שתיכו מאיתם כנס ישראל שהיא תרומה שנאמה קודש השם להשם רשת תבורסה and then ואוי אמר לרחש ברוך הוא מחף להם תרוסי so he connects תרומה and of course רשת which actually goes back to the Midrashim which goes back to actually to the Midrashim which actually speak about Bereshis and Tumah because we know from the Rabban al-Chumash but the Makor of course of the Midrashim. In Bereshit itself, one of the things Chazal say about Bereshit is they link Bereshit with Tuma. Bereshit is actually with Tuma. And the Ramban speaks about this in detail in Pasuk Aleph of Bereshit, the famous Ramban, right? What about Bereshit? So, and he brings, the Ramban brings a medrash, right? 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 For example, B'schus Gibel Devor Devor Olam, B'schus, this is Daf Yud Aleph in the Shavuos edition, it's Perak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. B'schus Chala, B'schus Maisos, B'schus Bikurim, B'reishis is Chala, Bikurim, and B'kavadasam, Zushim, Midas, B'reishis, Tomois, Kibes, B'schus Devor Olam, okay, that's Australian, we're going to speak about that. And says v'remes l'sfir ha'nikas chachma shiva yisoid hakol ke'inin shenema Hashem l'chot b'yisoid oret hi atuma he says about tuma v'hi kadosh and it's holy ein l'shia but there's no it doesn't have a measurement l'miyot is boininess and b'voimbo and therefore a person cannot really in other words a person can be aware of it but he can't really measure it he can't understand it there's no clarity it's not coherent. Okay? And I guess the Ramban is speaking about probably the Tumma D'Oraisa, which Chazal say, Amchita Achas Poteres Es Kol Akri. Because Yimna Odom Esa Midas V'yafish Achas Me'esa Remes L'esa Sviras. But then, of course, when we speak about Tumma as having a certain Shia, let's example, Meiser is 1 out of 10, Tumma is, let's say, 1 out of 50, 4 out of 51, depending on your Rabbinin, right, etc. So then, the Ramban says, then a person can actually count 10 and take out 1/10. Then people can speak about it, reflect upon it, contemplate it, right, and actually speak about it. So what's interesting is that this concept of Tuma, right, which Ramban speaks about going from a I guess we call it a point, if we give geometrical analogies, from a point that it doesn't have a shear, there's no hisbainus, to the point where actually there's a shear of 1 out of 10. So we see that there's two points in the process of creation and ending of divine creation and human apprehension. We have what's called the first process of emergence, something emerges, and that's the point where the Tuma doesn't have a shear. The mute is bindings and the void bar. Things emerge, but people cannot make out, right, the structure and form of the Tuma because it doesn't have a shear, it's one point. And then finally, at the very right, when it becomes what I call humanly coherent, human coherence, at that point, we say there can be misbinding the Tuma. Now, what I want to put the two Rambans together, Ramban here and Ramban in Tuma, that's the concept of Zeus. Zeus means that when something initially emerges, it's one point. And a person it's not coherent. It's not coherent. It can't be analyzed. We can't reflect upon it. We can't measure it and understand it. There's no form, there's no shape. However, there's a certain point that this thing becomes humanly coherent. when it comes to looking herein, then we can point to it and say Zeus. So, the analogy, of course, that the Ramban is making, right, is over here to the creation of Chava. Chava begins as a tzela. It's one rib. It's like a point, like the tumah. It has no shear. It itself is like a point. It's a fundamental element without any structure, without any form. But then after that, it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vayivir Hashem Elokim es Hatzela, Kodesh Baruch Hu forms it, gives it shape. And then what is it brought to Adam? It's brought to Adam finally at the first point when we can identify what's called when it's humanly coherent. At the first point it becomes humanly coherent after the stages of emergence, then Adam HaRishon says, now, of course, I'm not going to go into the side. I don't know the side. Perhaps I've heard that maybe one can speak about this as a passage from Chochmah to Bina or Chochmah to Shechina, but that's not actually what I want to speak about today. But what I want to say is a very interesting thing, is that according to the Ramban, where Ramban is learning the Psukim, is that the formation of Chava from the Tzela, which begins with the formation from her from a Tzela, which is the one point, which is the unit element, which has no structure and form. We can't be misbinding on it, we just may be conscious of its existence. To the point when it becomes humanly coherent. That's by Viela La Adam. So this process of divine emanation originating in its emergence in divine creation and culminating in when it becomes humanly coherent. So the Ramban understands that this is really what the Pesukim is speaking about, up beside. And Adam HaRishon, when he declares the point of human coherence, right? He says, L'zoisi kare isha. Right now we can call it a name. Ki mi'ish tu kach hazois. Now, of course, the Ramban has a mistake up beside too. Mi'ish kach hazois means that isha comes from ish, which the Ramban is going to identify. I mean, once again, I don't know Kabbalah. The Ramban is going to identify as a passage from, let's say, Chachma to Shechina, or Chachmah to Bina. In other words, there's a Kabbalistic process which the Psukim are describing. Now, what do I want to say over here? What's very, very interesting is...
Zot is the point in the process where the emergent becomes...
Humanly coherent. Right. And that's we'll identify with Bina, or perhaps Shechina. I'm going to leave the terms to the Kabbalah, those Yedechein. But in other words, the psukim, what happens is, how is the Ramban learning the Zeus Yikai Isha? So, Adam Misha is saying is, Zeus, this, Apisoi, the Ramban says, this thing which emerged now becomes humanly coherent. And he says, I'm going to call it Isha. Now, why do I call it Isha? Ki mi ishtu kacha Zeus, because Isha comes from Ish, where the Ramban is associating Ish with a spiritual world, a sphere, probably Chachma. That's Bereshis Balukim, Bereshis Chachma, that you say that called. And then, so Isha, which is Bina, comes from Ish. And once Adam HaRishon, right, recognizes the sphere of Bina, sphere of what's called Shechina, but not being precise, as being humanly coherent, and calls it Zeus, he recognizes too that this sphere of Bina, of Shechina, not the same thing, by the way, right? Comes from Chachma. And that's why Kimi Ish Lu Kacha Zeus. It was Zeus comes from Ish. In other words, Ramban is learning, the Pasuk is that Isha is Zeus because this Zeus was taken from Ish. That's what Ramban is learning. In other words, Ramban is learning the Pesukim, basically the Pesukim, there's the Pshat that other Barishan, declares that this is my wife, this is my Zivug, but Apisoi, Adam HaRishon is remarking that at the point of coherence, we understand clearly that the spiritual world and the spiritual metaphysical vision which we have at the point of human coherence is actually something which was that which initially emerged, which we're referring to as Ish, which is Chachma. Okay.
Does that mean that Adam himself only becomes coherent with the creation of
Ish? No, I don't want to go into derivatives, but in any case, like this. Now, what's interesting is that we have two things which are actually working handed him this Ramban. First of all, the Ramban is learning the Pasuk of Pisoi, which means that the Belisha is not only making a statement about his wife, but he's also making a statement about the declension of spiritual worlds. That's one point. Another point is that really, what is this process? I mean, other Rishon says Zeus. What is Zeus? What is this thing? So Zeus is referring to, you know, other Rishon's spiritual, metaphysical vision, right, of the Ilan HaKadosh, of the spiritual worlds. But in a certain sense, at the very, very heart, the most fundamental level, why are we saying that Isha, Shechina, Bina, comes from Ish, which is Chachma? Because it's an extra hay. It's an extra hay. In other words, the extra hay is real. In other words, at the fundamental level, the whole idea, the meaning of the pasuk, comes from the fact that the each, we've added to each an extra hay. And of course, hay is the last letter in the Yud Kivavke, the name of the Kodesh Baruch.
So we've removed the Yud Tai from each.
In economic. But in other words, I want to say over here, that's true, that might be just because it goes to Ish. I mean, the Ika thing is, right, that's the way I'm saying is that the main thing is that we call Isha comes from Ish because the hay has been added to the Ish. Now, of course, actually, I mean, if you want to go into this, it's a Yod, Yod actually is actually in the hay, because the hay is actually a Dalet in the Yod. So, in other words, but in any case, I don't want to go into the understanding of what the hay is, it's from the Yod. But in other words, so what are we should really say? Our Rishon Mendes is really, not as Adam Arishan making a statement with metaphysical implications, he's identifying this metaphysical transition, right, which in fact is referring to the psukim, the chumash, which speak about the creation of woman. That's Vayapel Shema Adam, Yikach Bon Solosov. But he's saying that at the bottom, at the very fundamental level of this, this is the fact that we have a hay that's added to each. Which means, what's going on here is that the Chumash itself is actually referring to itself at the most fundamental level of the text as being that which is composed of letters, because a hay is a letter. That's what it is. So we see here a direct remez, a direct allusion, explicit allusion, I would say, to the Torah, of which we have a Kabbalah of Emes, as really constituting a text upon a text. And the most fundamental text, the most fundamental text of the Torah, are letters of a Kodesh, of letters of names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, because hey is the Spitz, one of the Spitz letters, which denotes a sphere, which is also a name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, namely the sphere of Baruch Hu, whatever we want to call it. Or, so in other words, so we have over here.
So
hey, Baruch Hu, hey, Bina. Well, either way, hey, Bina. I've been saying Bina and Shechina. I've been putting, I've been interchanging them. Right. I don't want to go into. That's already beyond Hashkafacircle.com. It's probably beyond me too. But I'm saying
it's KabbalahCircle.com.
Right. Okay, fine. That's we'll end up in the Kabbalah.
Yeah.
Okay, now. So in other words, what do we have here? We have the side of the Ramban is elucidating to us that, in fact, the Torah sometimes somehow reveals itself and refers directly to the text. It's the text itself as really constituting, on a fundamental level, the letters of the names of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I think this is what we call textual immanence. Textual immanence means that there are different dimensions. We can call them garments, levushim of the Torah, and the very, very fundamental level, which is contained within the Torah, are letters of names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And in my opinion, is that would be what's called the notion of immanence, right? The immanence is usually understood to be, right, is a divine element contained, which is, you know, which is contained within the physical world. The physical world constitutes a type of a garment, a type of a dimension, right, that surrounds it, or that, you know, that that hides it. But this is the Ramban is saying, the same concept of immanence, we think that the Meshavim of the Kubbalim is the infinite light of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is spiritual, is contained within a physical klipa or a physical garment. So here too we have the pshat of the Chumash, which is the outer garment, which, you know, which is, serves as a garment for the, what we call the side of the Chumash, which is the, according to Ramban, the, you know, the sefiras, the different spiritual worlds. But in fact, actually, the fundamental inner garment, or the thing itself, is actually the names of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We see the term exact phrase. Now, it's very interesting, the Rashi on this Pasuk. All of you know the Rashi on this Pasuk. I don't teach you Rashi in Chumash. But Rashi says, on Zoy Sapam, on Zoy Sikohe, Ish et Mekime Ish, says Rashi, Loshen, Loshen, Neifel, Aloshen. Says Rashi, Loshen, Neifel, Aloshen, which means, according to Rashi, we have different layers of text, of language. Mikan, from Rashi, says from here, I Rashi quotes a medrash in Beishas Rabbah, Shenifra Oilam B'Loshen HaKodesh. From here, the world was created with Loshen HaKodesh. So once again, Rashi is making this connection. In this pasuk, Rashi is saying, is just like, the, in other words, just like you have a concept of textual immanence, Loshen Neifel HaLoshen, so too, we have a concept of ontological immanence with the world, the intelligence of the world is really in fact from Lashon HaKodesh. The world was created from Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, the ontological, the world is ontologically immanent. In other words, there's an immanence of the holy tongue of Lashon HaKodesh, which constitutes the fundamental particles of the world. In other words, the world, objects of the world, they're fundamental ontological essence is nothing but, you know, Lashon HaKodesh. That's what Rashi is saying. The world was created with Lashon HaKodesh. That was Rashi is relating Lashon HaKodesh, which is the Hebrew language, with creation of the physical world. Yeah.
That's imminence?
That's imminence. What's imminence? Imminence means that, in other words, if I ask you, what is the reality of the world? What's the ontology of the world? What's the truth of the world? Truth of the world is Lashon HaKodesh. That's how I understand it. But in any case, whether Rashi says to be imminent or not, what I want to say is that this, in fact, is related to what we're speaking about, the Ramban.
Right.
In other words, what the Ramban is saying is, we see clearly over here, actually, this Medrash also appears in Bamidba. I think in Bamidba Rabbah, I think in Laman Aleph Ches. And there, the Bamidba is actually a Medrash which speaks about the Torah was really written in Lashon HaKodesh. It was, here's one of the proofs that the Torah itself was written in Lashon HaKodesh. I guess there must have been opinions at that time, as it is in the Gemara. It was written first, that it was written actually in other languages. But we see, what do we see over here? When we say, when Chazal say it was written in Lashon HaKodesh, it means more than Lashon HaKodesh. It's written with the letters. In other words, the fundamental ontological grounding of Lashon HaKodesh is letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And of course, if we relate it to the Bnei Ha'olam, it turns out these are names of the Kodesh Baruch. That's, I think, in other words, all these midrashim seem to be pointing to this theme in general. This theme of what the Ramban understands over here to be the textual immanence, which means that there's a divine immanence in the text, which is expressed through letters of the names of God. And this is related to the divine ontology of the world, which constitutes Lashon HaKodesh. If I say things are created from Lashon HaKodesh, it means that in fact actually the ground level ontology of the world is Lashon HaKodesh. The world, if I ask what is the truth of the world, truth of the world are the letters in the Holy Torah. That's, I think, what's being said over here. So now we have over here what the Ramban is saying is that what the Chumash really is layers of text. And the fundamental layer.
Of the universe is.
Of the universe too.
I know.
But the universe is too. In other words, the universe and the Chumash. But the Chumash is layers of text. And in fact, letters of the alphabet, but they're independent texts. In other words, everything that I describe in the Psukim, and which I could use to describe the process of spiritual emanation, ultimately can be described in changes in letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In this case, adding a hey to Aleph Yud-Shin, to Aleph Shin. Now, which gets us to a very interesting, is that if the Chumash is multi-layered, and I have the letters of names of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I guess above that layer is the spiritual worlds, the spiritual processes, spiritual emanation, and above that is the Chumash, as we understand it in terms of word sentences, what we call the Pshat of the Chumash, then what is the passage? What is the nature of the passage from letters to Sfiras to Pshat in the Chumash? This is what the Ramban calls Mesira, tradition. And this Ramban speaks about right after he speaks about Yesh B'Yadin and Kabbalah Shal Emes, goes on the Ramban, and he brings also to Ezra, but he called the Sefer Teis HaLakim, the Fush, the Zimseichel, the Avinu B'Mikra. The Ramban speaks about the Torah, Aksuvah B'Eish Shechel, Gab Eish Levona. We have say Tevois, and it can be read on Derech HaShemes. And says the Ramban, V'nitna L'Moshe Rabbeinu, it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Derech Chiluk Chiyas HaMitzvah, in other words, the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in a way in which we just read the Chumash in terms of words and sentences. We don't read this fundamental text of letters, of Sfiras, etc., etc. V'nimsa Al Peh Chiyas HaBishemes, but there's a Mesira, Nimsa, is Mesira tradition, is the Kriya al Shemesh, which means how is tradition encoded in the Chumash? In other words, according to Ramban, tradition, Mesira, is not only a historical concept, it's a textual concept. The tremendous Chiddush of the Ramban is that the Ramban has revealed the historical Mesira as the structural relationship between levels of the text. According to Ramban, the passage from the different layers of the text, from the letters to the Sfiras, to the Soit, to the Pshat of the Chumash, this passage, in fact, mirrors the tradition, the Mesira, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Bi'al Peh, and that was transferred and transmitted to, according to Ramban, probably to the select individuals who carry it through every generation. So what the Ramban does by this multi-structured level of the Chumash, this divine immanence, is actually to create a textual notion of Mesira. What is Mesira? Mesira is not just what my father tells me, that my grandfather told him, but actually the Mesira is something which stares us in the face if we truly understand the most deepest and basic structure of the Chumash, its multi-level structuredness, and the relationship, the passage from one structure to another, that says Ramban, that's Mesira. Which means, in my opinion, what Ramban is saying is that the Mesira is not something that we need to have any more transferred orally, but the Mesira is something that we can discover through a penetration of the structure of the text of the Chumash. In my opinion, this is one of the chief, if not perhaps the most central concept in the Rabban's Hakdama, that we can in fact explore and discover the Mesira of the Torah through exploring and discovering the structure of the text of the Chumash. This, in my opinion, is probably the central concept that Ramban is trying to communicate, certainly when he speaks about Yesh Lanu Mesira Kabbalah Shel Emes. This is the Ramban. So, in other words, we have here a very interesting thing, because this represents actually historically a very important thing. Kabbalah now is no longer an oral tradition. Kabbalah now is a deeper understanding of text. Those who understand the text in a very deep manner, in fact, reveal the oral tradition, which now has ceased being oral, but now expresses itself in a profound understanding of the text itself. And this is something which we really have to understand, that the Ramban is actually being mechadish to us, right? A new concept of Maseira, a new expression of Maseira. This is Chas V'Shalom, not a different, a new Maseira. The Ramban is, you know, he's rediscovering, I mean, you can say he's rediscovering the wheel. The Ramban's not making up Maseira. The Ramban's claiming that actually the Maseira can be discovered now in the text itself. Of course, not everybody is capable of understanding the text on this level, and because of this, the Maseira still is only transmitted through select individuals, and then Ramban himself speaks about that he doesn't really express it explicitly. He sort of like he makes reference to it, but in any case, the revealing of the Maseira as constituting the structure of the text, this is one of the central themes, if not the most central thing, of the Kedama of the Ramban to the Chumash. Okay, in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to stop over here because there's a lot to say about this. And we're going to actually go actually deeper into this thing in Mir Tashem in the next year. So until then, from an undisclosed place, Yerushalayim HaKodesh, have a good week.